The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Welcome to the third and final hour of today's show, and our guest this Sunday is a Flemish drummer, Kobe Grégoire, a graduate from the Royal Conservatory in The Hague, and he has since left a strong mark on the Dutch music scene with numerous projects that he has collaborated on. And the idea, you know, to combine spoken word, rap, and jazz gave birth to his debut project, Commotion, they call it, which was created as the result of these collaborations. And the project is a discovery that, you know, undoubtedly led to a sequel off the beaten track, a bicultural snapshot of Gen Z framed by jazz and hip hop of the highest level. It is also, you know, one of this year's noteworthy jazz releases, a magical collaboration between Belgian drummer Kobe Grégoire and Dutch Congolese spoken word artist Daniel Zawadi. Bandleader, drummer, and composer Kobe Grégoire joins us this afternoon. Kobe, hello. Welcome to South Africa. Hey. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the KJS show.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us. You know, your story begins in 1995, but let's talk a little bit more, you know, about who Kobe is and when did you fall in love with jazz music?
Well, I started playing the drums since the age of 10. 10, 11, around that period. Mainly with the goal, I want to become like one of those rock drummers. I was looking up to Green Day, AC/DC, and you know, all the popular bands at that time. That looked very cool. And then, like, during the ages, then I was playing sports, I was playing music, I was doing a lot of different things. Until a certain moment, I went to a new music school. I moved then from the music school in Bruges to Knokke. It's like a city at the beach in Belgium. And there I was together with some people from my age. Back then we were like 15 years old, 15, 16. And they were playing jazz music. So I was like, oh, they play great and they play jazz. I wanna play jazz too. So there actually the jazz story started. I had never heard about jazz. I didn't even know who was Miles Davis or John Coltrane. So I was like a rookie back then. And then step by step, I went to Bruges to a local jazz called De Werf. It's related to the label that the album Commotion is released on. And together with my father, we went every week to concerts. We went to concerts in Bruges, Ghent, Brussels. We went even to all the way to Amsterdam to see great artists playing like Roy Hargrove, Chris Potter, and so on and so on. So yeah, from my 15 years old, it all started, the jazz.
Yeah.
Then I went to a music school, like a music high school. From there on, I went to the conservatoire in The Hague, and then I ended up here.
That you did. That you did. Of course, having spent time, you know, at the Royal Conservatory in The Hague, you were a student of music, meeting Vivienne, Carlo, Claudio and Ignacio, and also working with interesting projects. But of course, this is the same space, you know, where the idea to combine spoken word, rap, jazz was born. You know, talk to us about, you know, the first meeting with everyone. And then secondly, what inspired this project that is Commotion?
Yes, it's actually like since the beginning, 2015, when I arrived in The Hague, I was like inspired by the great players that were around. The Hague, the school, has a very international scene. A lot of students are from everywhere in the world. I met people from Asia, America, all around Europe. And then a few players really got my attention from the beginning. And one of them was Claudio, Vivienne and Ignacio. They were like doing the master studies when I started the bachelor's. And they were like the players in the scene. I was like, wow, I really want to become like them. I want to play with them. I want to make music with them and get as good as they are. And step by step, you know, then I started playing with all of them in separate settings, always like for every occasion, a new setting. And I was figuring out what way I wanted to go. During my study, I was highly influenced by Charles Mingus. Like, I really love the way how he composes music. It's always like very serious, but sometimes there is this crack, that like this change that makes it funny or weird. And like, I really loved it. I really love the music.
Playful. He was very playful. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the word, playful. And then like during the times, I was starting to compose. I got a lot of ideas, and then there comes a moment you graduate. You need to create a project. You need to create an album. You need to, you know, show yourself to the world and show what you have. And I was sitting. Okay, I want a large ensemble, but it's very hard to play concerts with a large ensemble because money-wise, it's very hard to get everyone a fair pay. So I was like, you know what? I will focus on a quintet. Because I'm also like a huge fan of Roy Hargrove. I went like to many of the concerts, taking drum lessons with Quincy Phillips, the drummer, even having pizza in Rotterdam with the whole band. So that was fantastic.
What a memory.
From that point of view, like, okay, I really love the quintet sound. I really love like big orchestrated music. What should I do? I contacted Claudio and I said, hey, could you help me with arranging the music that I made it? And from there on, I was like collecting the musicians with who I loved to play the most. There was Ignacio on bass, Vivienne, Giuliao on the piano, Claudio on tenor saxophone. But I was missing like a trumpet player. If you heard Claudio, for example, on the solo on Mona Lisa, he's like a beast on saxophone.
Incredible.
So I was really like looking for a trumpet player, you know, that could, kick his ass and, you know, show him that there's still more, you know, you wanted to create some, nice battles on stage and like, that it's not like, hey, I play my solo. Okay, whatever happens. No, you want to inspire everyone in the band. So, Vivienne shows it on piano, Ignacio shows it on the bass, but I really needed a trumpet player with the same level. And I was talking with this jazz criticus in Belgium, Willy Schuiten. He was one of the founders also of the Werf, where the label is from. And he suggested me to contact Carlo Nardozza. He's a Belgian trumpet player with Italian roots. And I've seen him playing everywhere in Belgium when I was younger. I'm not that old, but 10 years feels for me a long time. So yeah, then I contacted Carlo. We went into a room. We rehearsed, and wow, it was fantastic. So
it was magical. It was magical.
This is how we created the band.
Yeah.
But then there is the part that Daniele Jones.
Yes.
And that came actually also like during the same period. I graduated in the conservatoire. There was back then the head of the jazz department called Suzanne Abuel. She's a very nice jazz vocalist. But she was also the head of the department, and she was like her main thing, what she loved to do was giving young musicians a chance in the very big jazz world. Like, it's very competitive, but she really wanted to push young talents. And it started with giving workshops in the conservatoire. If a teacher got sick, she calls nice alumni and let them teach in the conservatoire for one lesson or two. But also she, like for me, she contacted me to work on a big project called Wij den Haag. It's like We the Hague. And that was for the occasion to open the new concert building in The Hague called Amare. And what they wanted to do was like show that the new concert building, where also the conservatoire took their new home, they wanted to show that this was a place for everyone and with every style, every discipline in music, in art actually even. They wanted like one leader, and they chose me together with the French bass player Raphael Royer to do that for the jazz. Like, we were a bit also a kind of test case, because they all took very high class ensembles in the classical world, in the dance world, in the percussion world. But for the jazz, they were like, you know what? No, we're going to do something else. We give young people the chance to create a project. So we came up with the idea to collaborate with the Hague Hip Hop Center. And they brought me in contact with Daniele.
Lisa sounds like when she opens up her mouth, everyone takes a step backwards. She isn't that pretty, nor am I that pale. Your selfie sticks clash too much with the red walls painted in very expensive tears from cheaplight.nl. Ceci n'est pas une pipe.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jazz is about experimenting. Jazz is about improvisation, and that's exactly what you did, you know. And
yes,
of course, an incredible tale. Of course, Kofifi FM, we're listening to the music of Gregoire Group, the Kobe Gregoire Group, the Sunday Exploration led us here, you know, quite a unique recording, bringing together young instrumentalists influenced by the American jazz from the turbulent 1960s with a powerful spoken word artist representing Africa and Europe at the same time. Very interesting artist Daniela is. And of course, still in that conversation with band leader Kobe Gregoire and exploring this incredible debut, you know, for Page Three this Sunday. Now, Daniela, you know, Kobe, you were quoted to have said that you and her made the Netherlands unsafe. What does that mean?
Well, yeah, it's like we started off like after the Hague project, what we did. Like we kept in touch because we had this, like musically, we had a very nice connection. And I was thinking like, okay, what can I do after the project to do more with spoken word or rap and everything? But in this, at the same moment, she was also having the same thoughts and she contacted me if we could do like for an occasion, for a concert that she had, to do like a few pieces in duo. So then like I was playing very rhythmical stuff and she was like doing her texts. Like one of the songs is also on the album. It's called Leefplek. It's a very strong text. And then what I try to do is like really dig into the text and see like what sound is she saying like in the text. Like if she says something about small medals or like waiting at a casa, like in a shop, like for paying. Like how does that sound? Like if I'm there, like, oh, you have like the beep beep from scanning the things, but also like people grabbing stuff. And then you try to like connect the sounds to the words.
Yes.
But also like, what is the feeling she's trying to bring over? And like, yeah, that collaboration really worked well. We had some very nice feedbacks and we did that a couple of times more. And then, yeah, since that moment, we did a couple of duo shows. And then I was like, okay, let's try it also in band setting. Let's put your texts on the music I composed. I have really nice ideas. We bring it together. Like if you hear people talking about it, like the jazz experts, then they expected that in the music, what I composed, sometimes it's very short, sometimes it's a long text and that we're just in the background, sometimes it's just like a short piece in between, very powerful, like everything has their meaning, everything has their position, and it's a bit more arranged, and it's something that not happened that often. Most of the time if people work with spoken word artists, it's very open, very improvised.
Yes.
And we have also this part, but mainly the big part was also to challenge Daniele to be also on an arranged piece to do things.
Yeah,
then the way of like conquer like the jazz world is like, because it's so unique. Yeah, I think with the ensemble we have, with the power of the band plus the power with the texts that Daniele has,
I think you bring a very different perspective, a different feel, you know, and yeah. You're challenging those that sit and I'll use and to quote you, you know, the jazz, you know, police or jazz critics, you know, in that sense to you, you bring them to a different way of thinking and looking at how are you defining, you know, what jazz means to you. Now, let's keep the conversation around the compositions on the project. I mean, tracks like Mona Lisa, Familiar Faces and the likes, and how they seem to maybe mirror and guile, I suppose, they take the complexity of albums such as Joe Henderson's Page One and Art Blakey's Messengers, you know, Jazz Messengers. Let's explore some of your inspirations, maybe, you know, as a drummer in 2024, and why those artists that I've just mentioned were an important part, you know, of this inspiration for your project.
Yeah, it's a good one. Where to start? like I've said, yeah, like the biggest inspiration, like if you listen to the music, you can actually feel per song where which drummer I've been listening a lot to. Like starting with Art Blakey, with the Jazz Messengers, I think he's one of the drummers that I listen the most to, together with Max Roach. Yeah, like I did a lot of transcriptions of them. Like I tried to copy them, their swing feel. I transcribed their comping. I've been transcribing like the drum solos they were playing, like try to imitate them. I mean, mainly that was also part of the educational course, of course. But then I'm also like I was very interested in the stories like they had to tell. And I was very lucky to have a drummer called Erik Ineke as a teacher, because he was, he's like one of the small amount of drummers still alive that have met those famous idols. And he met them a couple of times. He talked to them. He is now sharing all their stories. He shared it all to us. And
wow.
Yeah, it's like if you then connect it to the music that I've written, you can really hear like the influences that I had, like sometimes the simplicity, sometimes the complexity actually, but also like to go in, for example, Leif Plicht, a little bit more open, a little bit more free. I've been then mainly influenced by the Belgian drummer Dre Palemaerts. Like it's a combination of everything that crossed my path actually.
Yeah, yeah. A melting pot, a commotion. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, actually, yes, yes.
Kent iedereen die jij kent, kent te negeren en is bekend met jouw kunst. Daarom is het hier zo gezellig, hè? Voor de artiesten en de toeschouwers die na lange dagen hun uniform uitdoen en de notitieboeken blokken open, de lippen bewegen en het begint te lopen. We hebben een gesprek, een gevoel, we zijn diep van binnen met elkaar verbonden en dat is goed. We hebben een doel, een plan voor de toekomst, een wens voor mijn moeder en hou vast in deze vreemde jaren van onze jeugd. Want we zijn nu 20 en dan 30 en voor we het weten de tel al kwijt, maar hoe we nu praten met elkaar kunnen zijn en kunnen lachen ondanks alle tranen. Ik heb geen spijt.
Yeah, so it's really a commotion. It's really like a lot of different influences, and everything, every part had their part of my study progress, and I was mainly influenced by different drummers.
Well, it sounds really fantastic, and of course, we are indeed still talking to Kobe Gregoire. He's a drummer, composer, and bandleader, and we sit at his feet this Sunday as he introduces us to his new project, Commotion, a bicultural snapshot of Gen Z framed by, you know, jazz, hip-hop, and the highest level, a Youth Month commemoration conversation exclusive here to Kofi FM 97.2. And of course, we are celebrating young people, you know, for creating jazz for the month of June. And we find ourselves in East Europe, you know, of course, to be exact, this afternoon here on the K-Jazz Show. Now, Kobe, let's talk about the 2024 jazz scene in Europe. What are some of the interesting and exciting things taking place there? And how are audiences responding to this? Are you filling up, you know, shows? Are you filling up venues? Talk to us about that experience.
Well, it's 2024. It's like a little bit of a interesting period, I think. We came from like mainly around here, like Belgium, the Netherlands. Like the music scene is very subsidized, so a lot of governmental money comes to culture, and that's a very nice thing. But now there comes like a point that's like the politics. Like I don't know if you read the news about it, but everything in Europe gets very right side politics. I mean, I'm not gonna say anything if that's good or bad. Everyone has their own opinion about it. But like in their points that they are giving, the right wing, they are like mainly telling like culture, the subsidy should stop. They're just using money to do nothing. What is, I mean, not true, of course. But it's like a very interesting period because venues, they need to really think twice what are they booking. They cannot spend all the money and have nothing in return if there is no audience coming. So what I've learned is like it's very important to create a fan base. And I was luckily very aware of that. I was really slowly building up the fan base, connect with the audience, try out different settings and see what do they like, what do they don't like. I was a little bit looking like around, okay, what could work, what will people hate. And then we're with so many young people, there are a lot of conservatoires, so there is every day people are releasing music, new music, great music. So it's we are with this huge bunch of young artists that want to release their music, so you really need to be the lucky one to get the spots. Yeah, then you need to be creative. Like I was not very lucky to get immediately a whole tour with the album, because mainly the answer you get from venues is, hey, very nice music, but nobody knows you, so maybe in the future. So I've decided to create my own release show. So I've got a small subsidy. I rented the nicest concert hall possible in Bruges.
Yeah.
And we were very lucky because we almost sold it out. So that was very nice. We sold 180 tickets. So and I think maybe 25 people, 30 people were people that are close to me, but all the rest was like a mix of friends or friends of my family or even random people that were not even connected to me before. So we had a really nice time, and that was a little bit my vision of, okay, if you don't get a chance by the programmers in different venues, you know what, I just try it myself and see where it ends up.
And then
yes, and actually it worked out very well because for the fall we're getting like calls from different good venues to perform in Belgium and the Netherlands. So
absolutely, that's exactly how we should do it from now on. You know, we take the reins, you know, we build our own tables to sit at, and you'll watch them call you and want you to come to their venue. Now, where to from here? What happens next for the Kobe Gregoire group?
Well, mainly right now I'm working on like filling up the fall of 2024 and the spring 2025 with this album Commotion. And in the meantime, I've started like writing new music and then looking for making a second album. That's actually shortly set the plan. Like we had a great start. The reviews are great. It's actually very surprising for me that most of the feedback I got is from outside Belgium and the Netherlands. Like we just got a review in the UK Jazz News from London. We are here now in South Africa. So like, who have ever thought that we could go that far as the unknown Belgian drummer? So
well, now you have a review. You know, you have a whole conversation from South Africa too. You know, that's yes. One of the things that you can do and say, well, I'm famous in South Africa now, so you better start talking to me now. But, you know, Kobe, thank you so much. We look forward to, you know, keeping up with all of it through your social media, of course, and sharing more of you and the work that you do here in South Africa as well. And thank you once again for joining us this Sunday and sharing this music with us through this past half hour. And for a wonderful conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I'm very grateful.
He is a drummer, band leader and composer from the East of Europe, a student of the Hague Royal Conservatory, a voice of the Gen Z's contemporary jazz scene. He is Kobe Gregoire, and he was on the KJazz Show.